First Kings, book of First Kings, chapter 5, as we continue this study on a greater than Solomon, Solomon's type of Christ. This tonight is the temple which Solomon built, the type of Christ and his church, Christ forming his church, his own abode, we say. Now this temple took 7 years to build. Everything built in it was built by hand, no machine. 7 years to build it. 7 years of careful, perfect hand craftsmanship. And I'm going to try to describe it in 40 minutes. It's funny, it's impossible. It's impossible. Well, now this temple was, we're going to see, made with stones made ready. And so we should make ourselves ready right now, prepare ourselves to hear this. I started studying this and it just kept growing. And I thought this deserves 10 or 12 messages by itself. But I'm going to try it in one. I hope you'll give me your undivided attention. It's far too glorious to not give it our best. All right. If you have that, you have an outline of it. Okay. First, we're going to look at the purpose to build. Someone's purpose to build this temple. And it was God, and He spoke through David. Verse 5, Solomon is speaking here. This is the son speaking. He said, "Behold, my purpose." But wait a minute. It was David who purposed. It's the father who purposed. Well, that's right. Father and son. They both purposed this thing together. Verse 5, "I purpose to build a house under the name of the Lord my God, as the Lord spake unto David my father, saying, Thy son, whom I will set upon thy throne in thy room, he shall build a house unto my name." So, and we read over there in 1 Chronicles now that David gave Solomon, his son. The father gave the son the pattern of everything. He told him to build this temple according to this perfect pattern. The father is the one who purposed it and purposed everything in it and gave the money and all the gold, the silver, and so forth to weigh it. So the father purposed it and gave the pattern of it to the son to build it. You see the picture there. God the Father purposed salvation. He said, Paul said, "You're God's building. You're God's building. The temple of God. A habitation of God through the Spirit." God Almighty purposed to save the people before the world began. It was God's purpose. The same salvation. God taught it, and He gave it to His Son to build it, to build the church, to accomplish salvation, to build His church according to the pattern. God had a pattern. God had a purpose and everything. And there's not one thing left to chance. No one, nothing left to chance in God's salvation. He perfect, known unto God by all His works. From. So God purposed it. All things work together according to God's purpose for the saving of God's people. Alright? There's another person involved in this story. A fellow named Hiram. Look at verse 1. Hiram, king of Tyre, sent his servants unto Solomon, for he had heard that they had anointed Solomon king in the room of his father. For Hiram was ever a lover of David. This fellow Hiram loved the father, and he also loved the son. Look down at verse 8. Verse 8. Hiram sent to Solomon and said, "I've considered the things which thou sentest me for." Solomon sent to Hiram with a request for material. And he said, "I'll do all your desire." I'll do everything you tell me to do. So this Hiram here represents who? Who would you think it might represent? Three people involved. The Holy Spirit of God. Who's also does the bidding of the Father and the Son. So he represents God's Spirit. Hiram was a king. These were three kings. Hiram was a king of Tyre and Sidon. David was the king. Solomon was the king. So three royal and regal persons were together in this thing. Hiram was a lover of the Father, sent for by Solomon, providing men and materials according to Solomon's need. And that's God's Spirit. He's also called the Spirit of Christ, who works, provides, moves, and does the Father's purpose at the command of Christ. You might pay attention now. It's above me. It's hard to preach it, let alone hear it. So, ask the Lord to open your ear. So the Father purposed this thing, salvation. Gave it to the Son to do it. And it was provided for by the Holy Spirit. Alright? The means which were used in the building of the temple. Verse 13. King Solomon raised a levy out of all Israel. This is the reason I like Cambridge Bible. In the center reference, it says tribute of men. King Solomon raised a tribute of men. The levy was 30,000 men. 30,000 men Solomon raised. These men were the means. Men were the means of the building of the temple. They were sent. 30,000 men to work on the building. Who does that represent? How many men has the Lord used from the very beginning to preach His gospel, preach His word? How many men? Huh? From the beginning, the building of His church. This is how we're built. It's by the preaching. Built on the doctrine, the foundation of the prophets, the apostles, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers, and so forth. This is how we're built up from this most holy faith. By faithful men sent by God. Right? Sent by Christ. So that's the prophets, the apostles, evangelists, pastors, teachers. And the verse 15 says, Solomon also had 70,000 to bear burdens. That is 70,000 laborers and 80,000 hewers in the mountains. So that's another 150,000 involved in the work. And what this represents is God Almighty uses everything. Everything does the bidding of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All things work together. Right? According to God's purpose. All people and things, whether they know it or not, are doing God's bidding. Yes, they are. Christ said, He hath given me authority over all flesh. Didn't He? He's Lord over the quick and the dead. Believers and unbelievers all do His bidding, and all works together for your good. The building of God's church. Believe. Someday we're going to see, we're going to know as we've been taught. God's going to make the whole picture. Right now we see through a glass dimly. We see this thing is like a great big tapestry, and every thread in it goes together. Woven intricately together by a master craftsman to show a big picture of salvation. But we pretty much see it, we like looking at the back side of the tapestry. Everything looks disjointed. We can't see clearly. But believe God, everything, somehow or another, you've got to believe it. Somehow or another, there's somebody and something over in Thailand taking place right now that somehow or another is intricately woven, connected together with all things. It's a little product somebody's making on a assembly line that somehow or another is going to have some bearing on some child of God somewhere Well, they're good. I can't tell you what I'm trying to say. But everything works together. Everything works together. And we're going to spend the eternity, I believe, seeing how God has done all of it. Just marvelous. So all laborers, everything works together according to God's purpose in this great thing of salvation. That's the only reason the world exists. It's the only reason the world exists. It's for the building of God's kingdom in it. Not of this world, but from it. People. Understand that? So he had 30,000 hand chosen men, but all these laborers. Alright, where was the location of this flood? It doesn't tell us here, but over in 2 Chronicles chapter 3, you don't have to turn there, but I'll just tell you for the sake of time. 2 Chronicles 3, it literally says, verse 1, that this temple was built on Mount Moriah. That's the place where Abraham offered Isaac. And that place, on the very place, that's where this temple was built. And Mount Moriah, that's where Abraham took his son Isaac up to offer him as a burnt sacrifice unto the Lord, but God, in the stead of the lamb, Jehovah Jireh provided a lamb for the sacrifice. Picture Christ crucified. And what is the temple of God built upon? What is the church of God built on? Well, it was built right there at Mount Calvary. That's exactly where the nails were written in the building of this house. And the church is called the New Jerusalem. Over in our study in the Revelation, you remember that? Called, and I beheld New Jerusalem as a city. When it's all said and done, this world has been destroyed, and a new heaven, a new earth created. He said, John said, I beheld New Jerusalem, 1,500 miles square, ascending down from heaven, be placed in the new earth. New Jerusalem. It's called, that's what the temple of the church of God is called, New Jerusalem. And it was built on Mount Calvary. It's all built on Mount Calvary, where Christ died, where Christ laid the foundation of his blood, where our great Zerubbabel laid the top stone to it with cries of what? Grace. Grace unto it. So that brings me to the first thing in this building is the foundation, isn't it? Foundation, chapter 5, verse 17. King commanded, and they brought great stones, costly stones, huge stones, to lay the foundation of the house. Now you know there was a chief cornerstone. But all these stones were all precious, great, costly, huge stones, and they all speak of the unsearchable riches, which are Jesus Christ the Lord. Christ being the chief cornerstone, great, precious, and hewed by God the Father. Let me read this to you from Ephesians 2. You can turn if you want to. Ephesians 2, it says this concerning us, the temple of God. Verses 20 and 21 says, we're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom, in him, all the building is fitly framed together, growing unto a holy temple. So Christ is the foundation of this temple. And the prophets and apostles' doctrine, which they built on Christ, is what we're also built up on. So great, costly, huge stones. Stones of God's hewing for the foundation of this house. It all rests there. What are the dimensions of this house? The dimensions. Chapter 6, verse 2 and 3. Chapter 6, verses 2 and 3. The house which King Solomon built for the Lord, the length thereof was 80 cubits. That's a cubit. 18 inches. 80 cubits. All right? Let me get your attention there. It was, the breadth thereof is 20 cubits, the height thereof 30 cubits. So that's 90 feet long, 30 feet wide, and 45 feet high. 90 feet long, 30 feet wide, and 45 feet high. You know how long and wide this building is? 90 by 30. I'm not kidding. From the front porch to the back of our new, we added, at a venture, we added the back. We just said, what, well, we're going to build 30 feet. Made it 90 feet. 90 by 30. I just thought that was pretty proper. It's not quite 45 feet high, but anyway, 90 by 30 feet wide by 45 feet high. So it's long and narrow and high. Long and narrow and high. God's church. All the length of it. How long? It reaches all the way back to Adam. God's church. All the way back to Adam. It goes into the future however long. Until Christ comes. But it's narrow. Many are called, but few are chosen. Few are chosen, but always high. It reaches all the way to God. It's lofty, high, and holy to God. All right? Materials in this building. Verse 7. There were many different materials, but principal material. Verse 7. The house, when it was built of stone made ready. Oh, I'll never forget when I first read this years ago. The house, when it was in building, was built of stone made ready. Before it was brought thither, it was already made ready. So that, read on with it, so that there was neither hammer, nor axe, nor any tool of iron heard in the house while it was building. Stones were made ready. And what of God's, and he says we're stones, doesn't he? This is the principal material in the building. We're all made like Christ, who's that chief cornerstone. He said, Peter, you're that little stone, little rock. You're like Christ, the stone in the building. Made ready. Stones already made ready before the world began. God made these, his people ready for the building. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate. Whom he did predestinate, he called. Whom he called, he justified. Whom he justified, he glorified. God's people were made ready before they were ever put in the building, in the temple. They made ready. But beloved, now are we the sons of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but now. We're the sons of God. We've already been glorified. Just to be a member of Christ's church is glory. Stones made ready. No, because no tools will be heard in the building. Nobody's going to pick up a little chisel and say, I don't like it, and start working on himself. You don't make yourself a stone in this building, do you? No. Scripture says, he hath made us fit to be partakers. Scripture says, he hath made us to be partakers. Scripture says, we are made the righteousness of God in him. He makes us, not we ourselves. He makes us fit. No tools will be heard in this building. But all, you see, everything, Christ makes his people. And what's he do with them? When he puts them in the church, he doesn't put them to work. He sets them in that to rest. That, in other words, all these materials in this building were already pre-cut, pre-formed, hewn, sawed, measured, perfectly made and everything, and brought into the temple, and they were what? When they were put in the temple, nothing need to be after taken away.
Are you with me?
And we're complete in Him. We don't put into church so we can improve ourselves. Oh no. We're perfectly holy, unblameable, unreprovable in God's sight when He puts us in Christ. We're completing it, accepting. No tools gonna be hurt either. No sir. Complete once inside. And there were many other materials. There were materials like wood. There was silver, gold, things like that, which are, you know, stones. Stone is a very common earthly substance, isn't it? It's an earthly substance. Stone, wood, gold, silver is mined out of the earth. It's all earthy things. They're all common earthly materials. And in and of themselves, they're not beautiful, are they? They're not ready for that temple, are they? You can't just go out and get a rough-hewn tree and stick it in there and hope for the best, can you? What's going to make that thing suitable for that beautiful thing? Rather, it's going to take the work of a master craftsman. Those things in themselves are just plain old common materials. And not really good for anything until, like gold. Gold has to be refined. The dross has to be removed, purified. And we're just like, we're of the earthy. We're just common. We're just common old folk. But in the hands of Christ, the Lord, Master Builder, He makes us fit. He makes us fit in the hands of God and the Holy Spirit. We're made fit in the hands of and chosen. You know, every stone didn't get put in the building. Somebody had chosen it. Every tree didn't get cut. Somebody went out and chose them. Gold and silver was all chosen by somebody. Selected. According to the good pleasure of the Master. And so are we. So are we. So many different material, all made ready and fit and complete by the Master. Nothing left to be done. Once it is. All right, look at the next thing on your outline there. I don't know if you like having that or not. But here's all the things were in and around the building. Windows, doors, courts, pool, vessels, and so forth. There were windows in this building. Verse 4 of chapter 6. It says, the house was made of windows. For the house he made windows of narrow lights. And again, if you have Cambridge Center reference, look at that, what it says of narrow lights. So number 7 says, broad within and narrow without. Maybe you didn't see it. Let's try it again. Broad within. You see a lot of light within. Narrow without. If you're on the outside looking in, you can't see much. If you're on the inside looking out, you see a lot. Oh, you guys work perfect. Huh? We see through glass dimly, but when in Christ, we see all things clearly. There's great light, great revelation in Christ, inside, once God puts you by faith in Christ. There's a porch, verse 3, the porch before the temple of the house, 20 cubits was the length thereof, that's 30 feet long. It was along the width of the house. It was exactly the same width as well, read on. It was according to the breadth of the house. And 10 cubits was the breadth thereof before the house. 15 feet deep and 30 feet wide, the porch. And John Bunyan, I like what he said about this. He did a whole heap, pretty long work on Solomon's temple spiritually. But he said, of this porch, he said it was wide as a house. The porch was as wide as a house. In other words, anybody's welcome. You come up and sit on the porch. The porch is a welcome place. Y'all like to sit on the porch? Well, God made a porch on his house. Back in the old days, back in in the Depression and before that, people come along, any old beggar would come along, he was hungry, could sit on the porch and have a sandwich and a glass of lemonade. Anybody that's thirsty could come. And it was wide enough, Bunyan said, to lay a place, a lot of beggars, to lay a lot of beggars on the porch. And the porch is a welcome place for beggars. Come one, come on, all welcome. Wide as a house. There are chambers. Verse 5. Against the wall of the house, built right up to the house, that is, were chambers. These were little dwelling places, what these were. Little chambers, dwelling places. Places to store treasures. David he had to store all the cups and the basins and the flesh hooks and all that when they weren't being used. He had to store all these things in the room. So one place held all these treasures, gold and silver. And then there was a room for hiding place. Anybody? And there's a story over in the first. I didn't write it down. There's a story of a fellow who went and hid in one of these chambers in the temple. They couldn't find him. He's in there. It's all gone over. 2 Kings, where he was pursued. And he hid for 6 years in one of these chambers. Safe. And also there were chambers there that you wanted to just go in and rest and relax and repose and just kick shoes off and lay back and just enjoy and just a place of rest and repose. So, are you with me? There's places, there's these dwelling places, these chambers, places all built up, right, hugging up right up against, built onto temple itself, where you could go for rest and relaxation, or hide, or in it was all kinds of treasures. All these speak of Christ. Christ. In Him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Christ is our hiding place. Christ is our place of rest and relaxation and repose. And on and on we could go. And there was an oracle inside the very temple itself, like the tabernacle of Moses. The old tent in the wilderness had a holy of holies. Well, in the temple was made much like the first tabernacle. Inside the temple was an oracle, it's called. Verse 16 of chapter 6, verse 16. It says in the last line, He built them for within, even for the oracle, for the most holy place. The oracle, verse 19, He prepared in the house within, set there the ark of the covenant of the Lord. So there was a room within the temple where the ark was placed. This is the oracle of God. An oracle He prepared in the house within. To receive the ark, the covenant, the mercy. Are you with me? Maybe not hearing me. Within the temple was a room inside of it, a smaller room. Inside of that was covenant, ark, mercy. What's that? You're the temple, my son, give me thy heart. The heart, out of the heart of the issues of life. Heart. That's where Christ dwells. That's where God reveals covenant. That's where God reveals His mercy, His secret to the heart. Out of the heart of the secrets. Fear the Lord. He is beginning of wisdom. Those that fear Him, He will reveal His covenant. And He reveals it in the heart, not the head. Not the head, but the heart. And this also represents, chiefly represents the holy place where Christ is, the heart of God, bosom of the Father, but Christ also dwells in the heart of the believer. The believer is the temple of God, and Christ resides in the heart. There were doors. Verse 8 of chapter 6. The door, now it speaks of one door here to the middle chamber. The door for the middle chamber was in the right side of the house. That's the eastern side. The door, one door is mentioned here, the door into the innermost chamber. And then verse 31, it says, for the entering of the oracle, he made doors of olive tree. Doors. Well, the door into their chamber is one. And it says doors into the oracle, but really there was just one. We're going to see that. But Christ said, I'm the door. I'm the way. Backside sneak in, thief and robber. You got to come by the door. Right, the door. Into the inner chamber. But this, into this Holy of Holies, the oracle, verse 31, says doors, but really, it's not more than one door. It's one door with two, made of two doors. Like that right there. That's one door in. One opening, one way in from the front of this building, that door, but there's two doors. One way, but two doors into the Holy of Holies. What do you reckon that is? Well, Christ is both God and man. There's only one way into the Holy. That's by Christ. God. Coming down to earth, living a perfect, holy man, to be punished for our sin, the God man. One door, two leaves. And then the purpose, look, it gets better. Verse 33, though, it says, where am I? Verse 33 of chapter 6. Also, he for the door of the temple post of an olive tree, verse 34. The two doors were a fir tree, and the two leaves of one door were folding. So in other words, it actually had four parts. One door. I hope I'm not losing. I won't quit. One door with two parts. God, man. Christ, God, man. Into the Holy of Holies. But now each door also was folded. You ever seen these bifold doors? I've got them on my closets at home. That's what these were. Bifold doors. All right, what's it? Well, Christ is both God and man into the Holy of Holies. He's also made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification. You love that? One door, two parts, four leaves into the Holy. That's how we end. We're only going to come to God by the God man. And we're only going to come into His holiness if He's made unto us the way by His wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And I never thought about this until today. Wisdom and righteousness, that's God's part. Sanctification and redemption. That's the Son, that's the man. God, man. He sanctified Himself as a man, and He redeemed us by His blood as a man. God's wisdom, God's holiness, man's set apart, man's shed blood. Isn't that wonderful?
That is just wonderful. Oh, my.
One door. All right. There were pillars to hold up the porch. Pillar, chapter 7, verse 15. It says two pillars of brass, 18 cubits high apiece. 27 feet high. 27 feet high. And a line of 12 cubits to compass either of them about 18 feet around. It's a big pillar. Pillars support the church. Support the church. Support the porch and the church. That's what these pillars. What are these two pillars? What are the two things upon which the whole church stands upon? There's two pillars. You've got to know them. I know you know it, but you might not think of it right. But the two things upon which everything stands, all salvation depends, two giant pillars are holding this whole thing up. Jesus, thy blood and righteousness. Blood and righteousness. Righteousness to make me whole. Blood paid my sin. It all stands and falls according to those giant pillars. And the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. And what do we hold up with these two great things? This is all the salvation which the church welcomes all by through these two great pillars. Right, Janet? Through these two things. Some capital, our nation's capital, said through these hallowed halls. I think it, maybe it's Supreme Court or somewhere. Anyway, up top it's written, through these hallowed halls and walk in, and you walk through two great giant pillars. Well, through these hallowed halls are those who come by His blood and righteousness through Christ into the Holy of Holies. Well, there's a pool. There's a big basin, verse 23, chapter 7. A big basin of water, verse 23, made a molten sea. It's called a sea. I don't know why. Anyway, 10 cubits from one brim to the other. It's round. That's 15 feet round. It's a great big basin of water. And it was made of molten brass. Can you imagine how beautiful that was? Can you imagine how beautiful that was? This brass plate. It has not brass. They have a hose held up with two little screws. That's solid brass. It takes something to hold them up. Molten brass. That means it was poured. Pure. And unmixed. Molten. Just melted brass. Pure. Not hollow, but pure. It says it was that thick. Hands break thick. Depends on whose hands it is. 5-6 inches thick. And 10-15 feet round. And it was supported by 12 oxen. Molten brass oxen. They were intricately carved. Little oxen. It's kind of set down in the floor of the temple. I believe it's right in the middle. It's set down in there a little bit. But all the way around, perfectly ordered all the way around this perfect circle, circular basin of brass 6 inches wide with these little oxen undergirding. What does this represent? The Word of God. The Word of God. This is where the priests came in and washed their hands and refreshed themselves and this is a picture of the Word of God. God's Word in the Revelation said there's a sea of glass before the throne. You remember that? A sea of glass mingled with fire. A fiery water. God's Word is a fiery substance, but it's also a refreshing substance. It's pure, like that molten brass. And Christ Himself said this in John 15. He said, now are you pure through the Word that I've spoken to you. You're pure through the Word I've spoken to you. This is wise as a man's hand, written by the hand of God. And He said in Ephesians 5, we're cleansed by the washing of water by the Word of God. God's Word. And some of the things in there were the vessels of the temple. There are too numerous to mention. But in this account, they're all made of gold. All of gold. According to the weight. All gold. All the vessels. Pots, pans, ladlers, and everything. The gold. Verse 50. Bowls, snuffers, basins, spoons, censers, pure gold. Hinges of gold. Both for the doors of the inner house, most holy place, for the door of the house, the width of the temple. Everything made of gold. Everything in this temple is pure gold. Everybody in Christ's church is holy, unblameable, unproved, spotless, gold. You're a chosen generation. Royal. Gold is what kings wear. They don't wear silver. They wear gold. You're a royal priesthood, chosen generation. Peculiar, purchased people. Don't believe it. In the house. I'm about to leave something out. I want you to see this. And in verse back the doors in chapter 6, verse 33. The doors were made of an olive tree. Post of the door. The doors themselves were made and overlaid with gold. But they were made of an olive tree. And it says the posts of the doors were made of olive tree. There's a reason why they made things of olive back then. Number one, for its enduring, well, its beauty. It was beautiful. You ever seen olive wood? It is beautiful. It's beautiful, number one. It's unlike society. And number two, it's enduring. Olive wood is like the shittim wood, which the ark was made of, much like yellow or black locusts we have here. It just gets harder with age. It will not corrupt. It will not deteriorate. And also, you know they never had to lubricate the hinges on that. Because that oil so saturates that olive wood in those posts, those like a, you know, like a cedar or a pine tree will just bleed sap all its days on it. Well, the olive tree, they say, is an oily wood, and it just was naturally lubricated. So, here's the point. The doors were hanging on these oily posts so that it wasn't hard for the doors to swing open. In other words, you could just knock and fly out. And it wasn't hard to get in. Anybody that came to the door, can I come? And Bunyan said, the oil of God's grace doth freely open the door of His mercy. Did the work get finished? Was the temple filled? Was anything like it? Look, I'm about to miss it. Verse 51 of chapter 7. So was ended all the work.
Well, who did it?
King Solomon.
But wait a minute, there were 30,000 ladies and there were 150.
No, who did it? Who built this place?
Solomon did.
At the command and the purpose of his father David, with the provision provided by King Hiram. It was done. It was finished. And so, it says, Solomon, when it's finished, Solomon brought in the things which David his father had dedicated. You read it? You got anything on this? Verse 51. After it's all finished, that Solomon brought in all these things which David his father dedicated, silver, gold, the vessels he put upon them among the treasures of the house of his temple. Nothing to be had. What do you think Solomon would have done? Some fellow would come along with a pen and said, I'd like to carve my initials in that door. I'd like to do, I got a little something over there. I got a little picture on hanging on the wall. This one is finished. This is complete. And if anybody's really seen beautiful, they dare not lay a hand. See what wisdom it took, his power, what riches it took. In my blood. what can I add? Kindness. God's just stop. Power is greater than time. Build the building. All right, let's just stand and be dismissed. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We know it's your word. It's so marvelous, so miraculous, so perfect, so complete, so complex, so interwoven, everything. It all works together to show the glorious story of Christ. Christ is all and in all of this book. How we thank you for showing us a little bit of his glory, a glimpse. We preach in part, we know in part. When that which has come, when we're made perfect, when Christ has come, we're actually put in that temple not made with hands, that glorious temple. Then we'll know, even though we've been known. We'll glory throughout eternity in that which Christ our Lord hath done, so great a salvation. It's in his name we are met here tonight. Give him glory. Amen. You're dismissed. Thank you.